of greed, sticking with the conversation that we've been having, breaking the chains of different things. And you know, if we think as adults we have overcome greed in its entirety, we have missed the mark. I mean, we're greedy about our time, we're greedy about possessions, we're greedy about our money at times. You know, sometimes it's not if you're greedy, it's how greedy you are or when you're greedy. And you know, there's just the truth of the matter is at times we all are greedy, and it starts at a very young age. Chuck Swindoll tells a really cool story to illustrate how early it is when we start greedy. He tells this story about this little girl that went into the shopkeeper's shop, and he thought she was really cute, and she was a little girl and really smart little girl, and he was just, you know, picking at her as we do with kids sometimes. And so he'd been talking to her for some time, and he said, "Would you like some candy?" And the little girl ran around behind her mom's skirt and peeked out and looked at him and acted all shy and wouldn't say anything. And so he finally said, "It's okay, it's okay. I'll get you some candy." So she opened up her purse and he dumped it in. When they got to the car, the mom said, "What is the deal? You have never been shy with the shopkeeper. Never before have you hid behind my skirt. What was wrong?" She said, "His hands are bigger than mine." She was a smart little girl. She wasn't going to talk to him and reach in and get her handful. She wanted the big handful. And so sometimes that's like we are, and we don't really ever get over it. We want the big handful, and we got to have that. I want to make a statement, and it's a paradox. You know, a paradox is a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition that, when investigated or explained, may prove to be true or well-founded. So listen to this. The poor man could very well be rich, and the rich man could very well be poor. And now, how you say that, I looked it up today because P-O-O-R, poor is American, poor is British, and pure is Scottish. So there's lots of ways to say the word depending on where you're from, but I'm going to stick with poor because I'm American. So when we look at that, our wealth is a matter of perspective at times. If you've ever been out of the country, you know this is true. I've seen some of the poorest people I've ever seen in my life be the happiest. And I've seen some very wealthy Americans that didn't really seem to be all that happy. And sometimes greed overtakes us, and we get to be about things instead of people or even a person, and it gets to be a problem. I want us to look at a passage tonight. So let's read together Luke 12, 13 to 21. And if you would, just stand with me. I want to, in reverence for God's word, I just want to read this to you, and then we're going to discuss it a little bit. 13 to 21. And someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' And he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" You may be seated. Let's pray together before we start this passage, because it's a very interesting passage, And there's some seemingly what looks to be like harsh things said, but it's so direct and so true. So let's have a word of prayer and just ask God that he reveal truth to us from this passage. God, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you that you love us and you reveal it to us. God, help us tonight, just as we look, help us to think about our own life and how this scripture applies to us. God, we pray for Brother Tom as he's away leading a revival. Bless him. Bless each person here. And just we thank you for the opportunity to study scripture. In your name we pray. Amen. I think it's very interesting that the man in Luke 12:13 says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Now, when you have something like that, it's always interesting to look at the passage before. And so when we have a passage before, the way to break things down, the section inside of a chapter, you know, as we had the New Testament written, it didn't have chapter breaks and section breaks. It didn't have the little names of the titles. Those sections we now call pericopes, and the headings are pericope headings. And so we have different headings here that gives things. So in your Bible, at the top of the heading, it might, for that section 12, 1 through 2, it might say, "God knows and cares," or "Fear God, not people," or "Concerning hypocrisy." So that section before that, that is the pericope, and the pericope heading saying, this is what's being discussed here. So that man has heard all of these things that Jesus has taught in Luke 12, 1 through 12, and he has come to this question. And as I look at this, I often find scripture very humorous, because as I look at this, he reminds me of a lot of people in a Sunday morning Bible study class. And it seems like every class has at least one, where you hear the passage being taught and the teacher's doing a great job and they're right on point with the scripture, and seemingly somebody comes out with some kind of outlandish question, and you're like, where did that come from? Well, that is what's happened here. This man has listened to this, and he has digested this, and he is thinking how this applies to him. And just think, in your own life, you know that person that never has a thought that they don't speak out loud. For me, that person is Rusty Herod. I'm sure none of y'all know him, but Rusty's one of the funniest guys I've ever been around, because he never has a thought that he doesn't say out loud. So as I read this passage and I looked at this man that makes this statement, I thought, that's Rusty. In the previous passage, it tells us there's thousands there, and there's so many people there that they're stepping on top of one another. This man doesn't care. He has a burning question in his heart, and it has to be asked, because he thought it, and it has to come out. So it does. He asked his question. He said, "Teacher, tell my brother." Actually, it's not even a question. It's just a statement. He's heard that God cares. He says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." So he's heard this, and this is what he has concluded as a result of hearing the previous verses. And so we have to be honest. And so you might be going, you know, that's kind of a crass or wrong thing to say. But me, I applaud the man for asking. Because if we're going to get anywhere with Scripture, we have to be honest with ourselves. And where we are, guys, where we are is where we are. God already knows where you are. And sometimes if you will just state where you are, Scripture can impact your life a whole lot easier than you trying to be so religious or so cool or so trying to get everybody to think you have got it. Just say where you are. And that's what this man does. He states where he is, and he says, "Tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And so the question seems to be a little harsh. I mean, the thing here, when he says, but what he is doing is just simply saying, you have asked the wrong question. And, you know, we do that. Often we ask the wrong question. And so we have to get back on course. And we have to accept the right answer. And so that's all part of the process. So after he does that, he says, who appointed me judge? He says that to the man. And the next it says, and he said to them. So when he moves from the man who's asked the wrong question to the crowd, he is now taking the man's point and launching into what he wants to teach. So here he's teaching what he wants to teach. And he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Boy, that's powerful there. So what we're saying here is, if I strip away everything you own, what's left? Because the men in the room, in particular, typically, are big on possessions, but everybody sometimes look at their possessions, and your possessions do not make you who you are. And sometimes poor people or rich people look at their possessions and they determine their worth from what they have in material possessions. And Jesus is saying here, that's a bad way to look at things. That doesn't determine your value at all. What you own or what you have is a poor way to look at things. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. So even if you have a lot, your possessions are not what make you who you are. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. So he moves now from this statement where he's launched to tell the parable, and he wants to tell this parable. And this man has a land that's very productive. And so it's probably, we don't know for sure, it could be just very rich ground, but probably the man works very hard. Usually when somebody has any kind of wealth, it is because they work hard. The point here is you got to be very careful to not think because you work hard, what you have is due to you. What we have is due to the Lord, and we got to be careful to look at it that way. So, and he told them a parable. The land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And what we often do as people is we think about the end game way out there. And we look way down the road, and we get to where we think we should be, and we begin planning from this point way out in the future. But the Lord says, no, no. What I want to do is I want to direct each of your steps. If I can get you to direct, let me direct each of your steps, I can get you to where I want you to be. Don't plan all the way out, because that's what this man is doing right here. He's saying, he's reasoning to himself, it's not with the Lord. He's not talking to the Lord. He's not having a discussion with the Lord. He's not getting advice from the Lord. He's not letting Scripture impact him. He's reasoning with himself, and what he comes up with is, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Interesting question, and at this point, if we stopped right here, we wouldn't know exactly what he meant, but he clears it up for us. And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And if we stopped here, we still wouldn't know exactly what he's trying to accomplish, because the scriptures told us he has productive ground. And now he's saying, I need bigger barns to put all that I'm taking in. But he goes on to say in 19, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. to come take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So what's happened is he has his barns full. The small barns are full, and he wants more. He wants bigger barns to put more in so he can take it easy later. And that's what greed is. When we talk about greed, it's I want more and more and more and more. And usually it's because we're trying to figure out our way, and we can make everything situated, and we can fix it in such a way and arrange it in such a manner that we'll have it all control. I'll be in charge. I've got this figured out. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm going to do. I have the end figured out. I know what the end is. I've stored up all my grain. I built a big barn, and I'm okay. So you look at that, and it makes it really clear. But I will say to my soul, soul, man, isn't it great when you have a conversation with yourself? I do it all the time. You may have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, sometimes we do that with retirement. We think, I will get enough retirement up, and when I quit, I won't have to hit at anything. You know, that's not what God calls us to do. Sometimes we think, if I can just make enough money, I won't have to worry about anything. That's not what we're called to do. What we are called to do, folks, is walk with God. And greed, the desire to have more and more and more to avoid any kind of complication, is outside of what he wants to do with us. We just simply need to let him direct each of our steps. I am not saying it's wrong to have a bank account. I am not saying it's wrong to have a retirement account. I am not saying it's wrong to have a nest egg for something that might happen to you. What I'm saying is wrong is a desire to have more and more and more so that you can control your destiny. That's not what God is trying to do with you. What God wants to do is tell you to take this step here and to take this step here and to take this step here, because he can take you where he wants you to go. God has a design for every person in this room. And if you will allow him to direct your steps, you can find the design that God has for you. But if greed takes over with your time, with your possessions, with your family or your money or whatever it might be, you will never find God's design for your life, because you are so in control. You will never, ever see it. Ever. You just won't see it. Greed will take over in your life, and the desire for more and more and more will ruin your ability to find God's design for your life. So after he says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This is what God says. And it's very definitive. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So you have laid up these treasures, in this case, this grain. And you have filled this big barn. You have done it. You have worked hard. You have accomplished something big. But God says, it doesn't matter, because your life is gone tonight. All of this stuff that you stored up is left behind for the estate sale. Everybody's going to come through and get a ticket and sign up so they can come through the barn and they can get a bushel to take home at a real discount price. That's what's happened with your possessions, because you're out. You're gone. You laid up treasures on earth, and they're going in the estate sale. And they're going at a discount price. You're not even going to get what you thought they were worth. Gone. Because you planned the way. You didn't let the Lord direct your steps. Greed took over so that you thought you could take it easy. You could coast. You could go with the flow. But God said, that's not what I'm after. So he goes on to say, so is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Guys, I just want to share with you because I love you. If wealth is your end game, if greed in any shape, form, or fashion is your end game, you are headed the wrong direction. Man, do an about face, a 180, go the other direction and start laying up some treasures for God. As a church family, we need to work together to lay up treasures for God. And we look at what God has done for us, it makes perfect sense to honor him and do what he's called us to do and be inside of his design. And retiring and coasting or building enough money so you can quit or work part-time or any of those things isn't the goal. I'm not even saying those things are wrong. I'm saying if that's your heart's desire, that's wrong. Because your heart's desire is to follow God's design for your life. If you can follow God's design for your life, man, that's when it's good. That's when you can lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. And that's what we need to do. So don't be greedy. Don't be greedy with your time. Don't be greedy with your possessions. Don't be greedy with your money. You know, one of the ways that you can help yourself is to be around people who are generous. I'm going to brag on my wife for a second. She is one of the most generous people I've ever been around. If we have anything at the house that's extra, she's figuring out who she can give it to. Man, what can I do with this? I mean, she's like a little busy bee. I've seen her in a restaurant with a waitress came by and complimented her purse. She dumped it all out in a bag and handed it to her. You know, generosity is something that will kill wealth. We need to be people who are generous. A couple of things I want to share with you guys. One, I know many people, my position affords me some, Dana would say the same thing, or Greg. Our positions allow us to see a lot of neat things. Wouldn't you agree with that? One of the neat things that I get to see is people's generosity. Man, if we're on a mission trip or we have people doing anything, you can't believe the people at Eastwood Baptist Church that honor God by saying, hey, I don't want to be recognized. I don't want anybody to know, but is there something I can do to help? Does somebody need some help? Is there something I can do to help them along their way? And often there is. And that person writes a check and gives it. And I assure you, they are blessed because it's not that they're doing it to be blessed, but serving God by being generous, by serving God and not being greedy is a blessing to our own life. And so if you aren't that type of person, I just want to encourage you to be. Because I'll be honest, I'm not generous by nature. I mean, I'm not like my wife. I mean, she's the most giving I've ever seen. I'm not, she'll tell you, I'm not that way by nature. But I'll tell you what, watching her give and seeing the enjoyment that she gets from giving has caused me to want to give. And so I'm saying, try it. What's the old saying? Try it. You'll like it. God's design for our life is to be generous people, not to store things up so that we can use it later or we can figure out how to retire early or not hit a lick. Our job is for us to serve him and follow his design for our life, and greed or greediness will kill that. And greedy is not something, although we often say to little children, and we think about it for little children, and we say, don't be greedy. And sometimes we start applying that only to children when it's just as much an adult thing. And when we can honor God by listening to where he wants us to go and giving where he wants to give, or basically just being generous. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about your time, your heart, your relationships. I'm talking about your life. Don't store it up. Generous. I mean, there's several things that we have buckets of that we can never run out of. God's given us a bucket of encouragement. And I don't care how much you reach in there and throw it out, that bucket is never, ever, ever going to run dry. And it has nothing to do with your bank account. Love. We have a bucket filled with love. And you can give out love over and over again, and it never goes away, ever. So there's lots of things that we can do to fulfill God's design for our life. And God makes it very clear in this passage, we don't have to be rich people to do it. Matter of fact, he says, a multitude of possessions could be our detriment. We just need to give and follow God's design. I know I've not kept you probably as long as Tom does, but I just wanted to make the point that generosity is a great thing. Greediness or greed is a thing that kills your joy. We don't do it on purpose sometimes, but accidentally, sometimes we can be really greedy people. Examine your life, and when we look at Scripture, just a great principle of doing Bible study is look at the Scripture and say, what is it saying to me? I know it's a lot more fun to apply it to somebody else or to tell your spouse that they need it. But the principle of Scripture is to say, what does this passage say to me? What is here that I need to glean? What is it that I can learn? Let's pray. God, we do love you. We thank you for this passage and the parable that you taught about the rich man that had such productive land that he wanted to build barns to hold it all, even though his smaller barns were already full. God, we thank you for the lessons that we can learn from that, because you come and you make it very clear, because you say to him, you fool. Let that not be said of us. Let us be people that hear where you want us to go, that you hear where you want us to use our time, that we hear where you want us to use our money. We hear what you want to accomplish with our life. And God, help us not to be people that think we have to have lots of possession to be valuable. God, we're tools to be used in your hands. And God, when we do stuff for you, we can store up treasures in heaven, God, that have an eternal value. Because when we take things and we set them aside, it's really saying, I don't believe in the eternal things that you promised. I believe in the things that are right here, right now. Help us not to be like that. God, we're getting ready to sing and just offer a time to respond to your word. God, I just pray for somebody here that should pray, that they pray. God, it's not because necessarily they're doing anything terrible. It might just be that they want to do something different. Always help us to look for your design for our life. And when we look at your word, that we say, what did that say to me? In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand right now if you have...